This is a replay of the Thursday night, December 11th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it's on mine. But I came across this, and in fact, it was Engineer Bob who sends me all these wonderful links. And I thought it was worthy of discussion because more often than not, when I'm looking for symbols to use in passwords and stuff, I'll use the at sign, as they say. So I thought to myself, it's got to have a name, right? Like the number sign is the Octothorpe. What is the at? All right. Well, it turns out it does have a name, although it's usually not used. When you try to look it up, it usually comes up as the at sign or something like that. But it's been in use for centuries. It didn't start with email, obviously, and it dates back to 1536. An Italian merchant was writing a letter. And what he did, he was describing a unit of volume roughly equal to a standard clay amphora jar. And so rather than write amphora, he wrote the curlicue A. And that was how he did it, of course. From then, later medieval scribes used it to mean at the rate of for calculations and things like that. But yeah, it's an amphora. Right, who would know? An amphora is actually a jar, and it's of a certain size and dimension and all that. But with global trade expanding, merchants began using the at sign in ledgers, price per unit, and all of that. So we get to 1971, when Ray Tomlinson needed a character to separate a username from a host computer. It was the world's first networked email. And so he thought about it. He thought it had to be a symbol that was rarely used in names, yet widely understood across keyboards. And what would be better than at? Yeah, the typographical character used by developers at the time meant located at, as in user at computer. And so you would see it in computer language from time to time. But now, of course, 5 decades later, we're all using the at symbol and billions of messages a day. And how many people know it's the amphora? All right, so now you do. All right, so I look up on the screen and I am thrilled to see Steve Jarrell's name. So, Steve in Nashville, how are you?
How in the world are you, my friend? Merry Christmas. Been a long time.
It has been too long. And Merry Christmas to you, too. What you up to?
Nothing much. Still writing some songs. Just did a music video this past year.
It's great.
If you go to YouTube and put Steve Jarrell Pages.
Okay, yeah, it is great.
It's about Yes. I'm sorry?
I say, it is great. I saw that. And it's absolutely moving.
Oh, you did?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, thank you very much.
And it's great.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to put a link to that on my blog because it's a great video. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that. How have you been? Everything's fine. I'm still, I dissolved the band after 42 years of Sons of the Beach.
Sons of the Beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sign of the times.
Well, I'd had, like I said, 42-year run is not bad. And so, but the rhythm section had been with me. Those four guys had been with me over 30 years, all of them. And that's unbelievable, especially in Nashville.
Yeah.
And a couple of the guys, my bass player, started having health problems, and my keyboard player was having hearing problems. And they were just going to have to leave. And I didn't want to replace them because, you know, those guys knew when I was going to sneeze. And you know, you play that along with, you know, guys, it's like a brotherhood. And I just said, you know what, it's a good time to. So I'm doing it by myself now, and I'm singing with tracks. I don't particularly care to sing with tracks, but, you know, I'd rather do that than have a band. And I've rebranded myself. It's Steve Gerald and Music in the Briefcase.
Oh, wow. Music in the Briefcase. Now, does this have a website?
Yeah.
What's the URL?
Well, Steve Gerald has a website.
Okay, so if I go to stevegerald.com, I can find you?
.net.
.net. All right.
I haven't updated it lately, but it's there.
So, wait, am I spelling this right? Stevegerrell, right?
No, J-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Ah, okay. That's my problem. All right, let's see. All this time I've been spelling your name wrong. All right, so there you are in your glory and splendor. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I'm still kicking, just not as high. You know?
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And yeah,
and I'm doing radio. I'm still the daddy-o on the patio.
Okay, and when and is that? Does that stream?
Yes, it's mybnr.com.
Okay.
BobNancyRichard.com, mybnr.com. And it's a 24-hour station. It's out of the home office out of Fredericksburg. We have the shows, and basically it's, you know, music for our age. We have features, you know, on there and different DJs from different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And my show is live on Saturday mornings. And from 9 to noon Eastern time.
Okay. That's
great. And I take requests, and people can, text me, and I'll play what they want to hear. I think if you play what people want to hear, then you're doing it right.
Good for you. Oh, that's great. So you're right after Blue Suede Connection and right before Greatest Hits USA. All right.
Yeah.
Carolina Beach music. All right, so I've been wondering about this because, of course, I used to be heavily involved with beach music, but it's been decades and decades now. And, of course, as you well know, it started really in the 40s, really gearing up after
right,
the war.
Exactly.
And, you know, all that wonderful Earl Bostic stuff and all that. And then on through the 50s and the 60s. And I took it through the 70s and even the early 80s. There was a real rush to, you know, the Embers and Catalinas and everybody else. But what is beach music today, the current beach music? Is there anything left?
Oh, it's still there. I just, in November, it was a week before Thanksgiving, I went to Myrtle Beach. They have an annual Beach Music Awards show every year, and it's like a four-day event. And all the groups are there and perform, and there's a beach music radio station still around, the Surf, and out of Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach.
Oh, sure.
And other stations, too. And then they still have their shagging events. Called SOS twice or three times a year now. But, the Embers are still there. Craig Willard is fronting the Embers. And they're still sounding good. And Band of Oz.
So they're actually still performing. Maybe not the exact same lineup, but they're still performing. That's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Catalinas, same way.
Yeah. Rick Strickland.
Okay. Rick Strickland's still working, and I'll tell you who's back on the scene is the Swing of Medallions, and
all
they're
right.
The sons of the original. And there's one original that travels with him, and that's the drummer.
Wow.
The main guy that was in the group that sang and everything, the keyboard player, John McRath,
right.
His two sons carried the group on, and they're performing. They were at the award show this year, and they sounded fabulous. And my favorite group now, I don't know, it's called Too Much Sylvia.
It's really?
Four guys, but yeah, Too Much Sylvia.
Melissa.
They're fabulous.
I am totally unaware. So who are these guys?
Well, they were from Charlotte, and they all are older guys, and I forgot the name of the group they were with for years back in Charlotte. But, I think they named the group because when they started forming the group, they were talking about girls they dated, and two or three of them out of the four had dated a girl named Sylvia.
Oh, that's funny.
They named the group Too Much Sylvia.
I love it.
But I got a nice accolade a couple of years ago, I guess. The Surf ran a list of top 20 all-time beach music classics. And I've still got Sand in My Shoes, which has been my biggest record, came in number 8 in the all-time top
20.
Oh,
that's great.
I know. That's...
Well, I'm so glad. So glad because, you know, I think about places like Fat Harold's. It isn't still there, is it? I can't imagine.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, Harold's, it is?
It's passed, but
well,
the club
yeah.
is still going.
Right,
and
right.
And the Spanish Gallery still, that's where the
Galleon
party
yeah.
is.
Yeah, the Galleon.
Galleon. The Galleon, the yeah. party's there and still rocking. And a couple of the other places, too, are, you know, still going
good.
Strong. I mean, it's
good.
In North Myrtle Beach, you know, South
oh,
Myrtle
yeah.
Beach, down there, you don't find much, but up there. And when were you in Nashville last?
Oh, Nashville, my God, it's been 20 years. And as far as Myrtle Beach, even longer than that. So it's been a while.
I still see some of the old guys in Nashville and get together with them, Doc Damon and you know, some
how,
of the guys.
How is Doc doing?
He's retired, but he's doing good.
Good.
He's doing good.
Yeah. And, of course, Top 40 radio fans will remember him from WMAK.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everything, some of the old guys are still here. You know, we run across them a little bit. I try to get them out. I was telling the band there because we kind of outlive the audience, you know, over here. We're my oldies band in Carolina Beach Music. It's not that popular, of course, in Nashville. So, you know, and we were still doing 50s and 60s and 70s like we've always done because I figured that's what I know, so that's what I do. And so I was telling the guys when we had the group together, I said, I'm going to get new business cards made up. It says, Sons of the Beach Band for the Newlywed and the Newly Dead.
Oh, I love that. That's great. That is great. But, you know, when I lived in Nashville, and my God, it's over 50 years now, but there's a little FM station in Gallatin, WHIN-FM. And I'll be damned if they wouldn't play beach music. Now, I might have been the only person listening to WHIN-FM, but they did play beach music. And, you know, I remember tuning the dial, and what caught my attention was a Bill Deal and the Rondells record. And I started, whoa, let me stop a moment here. And there was quite a bit of it. So, but you're right, mainstream, no. And it wasn't, while I love WLAC at night, it wasn't the kind of stuff they were going to play.
No. Well, Don Quisenberry, the bass player, original bass player for Bill Dill and the Rondells, is still there. He doesn't play. He plays every now and then, but his son, Lee Quisenberry, plays with the Embers now.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, we lost William Dill and Ammon.
Yes.
And what a loss. They were Virginia's band.
Absolutely. Is Jackie Gore still with the Embers?
No, Jackie Gore has retired, but he was at the Beach Music Awards this year and won an award. He and his daughter sings, and they did a duet together, and it just brought the house down.
That's great.
He doesn't tour anymore or anything like that, but he's still going. He's still doing his thing. I mean...
Okay, now
see those. That's why I go to see those old guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now here's the deal: Repeat Records, are they completely gone?
They're gone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. And that was Pete Smolin, of course, and Marion Carter.
Marion, yeah. You know, they're the only ones that paid me royalties.
Good for them. Yeah, I remember when Marion was doing a beach show on the weekends on WANS and Anderson, and one before Repeat. And good, I'm glad to hear that. But I'm sorry they're gone. I thought so, because I was looking for something a few years ago, and I'm like, I don't think they're there anymore. But is Marion still with us?
You know, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to find out.
Oh, I'm afraid I know that's wrong. I was just looking it up, and I've got an obit for Marion Carter, but not the right person. All right.
So,
and that's good. I like that idea. Yeah, so I'll look for that, because I believe Pete Smolin's gone. But yeah.
I still have the video of the audio, I guess, when we had your party down there. And
oh yeah.
Had the interview at the radio at the station, you know, and
yeah.
It was me and Doc and a bunch of us were in together, and we did about an hour with you.
Yeah, Dickie Lee and Henry Strelecki, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And Dickie's still around. I don't know if you ever see him, but I understand he's still around.
Yeah, he's still around.
Good.
I don't know that he's. Buzz Kasson we lost.
I know. I felt so bad about that. And, of course, we lost Henry a few years ago, too.
Yeah. So we've lost a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Over the past. Clifford Curry, my favorite.
Oh, I know. I think about him every Christmas, because I'll tell you, for 30 years, I got a Christmas card from him every year without fail. And, you know, then, sadly... No longer. So you have to say healthy, you see, because you're about the last of the group here, so nothing can happen to you.
Yeah, and I'll be 77 in July, so I'm still kicking.
Oh, yeah, you're a youngster. That's good. Well, we're counting on you to be around, absolutely. I'm definitely going to put links on Raleigh.net to all that you're doing and, of course, the video pages, because it's just great stuff and it should be heard.
Well, thank you. Clifford and I, my favorite recording of all time that I've ever done was Clifford and I doing a song. It's kind of a tribute to the Drifters. It's called Just Drifting Along.
Ah.
We did two songs together, Two Soul Brothers and Just Drifting Along. And if you ever get a chance, they're on YouTube, too. Just Drifting Along is my favorite.
I'm going to look for that because I have not heard it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think so. So I'm going to do that after the show. I definitely want to hear that. Well, I'm so glad that you may not be touring, but you're still active and we can still hear you on the radio, and that's terrific.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm still touring every now. I'm going to, I'll be in Fredericksburg, Virginia for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
At the Courtyard Marriott there in downtown Fredericksburg.
Nice. Good.
So I'm still doing some things, you know. I slowed down a lot, but I do just enough to feed my ego, I guess.
Right. Why not? And I'm sure people absolutely love it because there's just not enough of it left.
Well, it's great to hear you on here. I tell you, I've been meaning to say I need to call Raleigh. I need to call Raleigh and say hello. And so last week, and then I got busy, and then I've been doing some. I used to do some acting bits too, just extra. You know, when you're in the business, especially out here, you can't do just one thing,
right?
You know, and make it,
right?
You know, a lot of guys come out here and say, "I'm going to be a studio musician" or "I'm going to be a session player," and that's what they set on their cans, and that's all they want to do, and they end up leaving town on a Greyhound bus,
right?
So you know, so you got to do different things. So that's how I got into radio. That's how I worked for BMI as a collector, and I worked for KTEL Records. I located the artist and brought him to town for KTEL Records, and just several jobs. I tell people I'm kind of like the guy at the circus scooping up the elephant poop and complaining about it the whole time, and somebody say, "Well, if you hate your job, why don't you quit?" And he says, "What? Give up show business?"
Oh, exactly. And sadly, we have ended the half hour, but I want you to call me again soon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take up all
your
time.
Oh, no. It's terrific. I always love talking to you, and I'm counting on hearing from you again, Steve. Thank you.
Sounds good. Bye-bye, and have a great Christmas.
You too. All right, how nice. That's a great way to start the show. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and more coming up right now on WGN Radio.
No. to get back home to you. I ain't that loving you, baby. I ain't that loving you, babe. I ain't that loving you, babe. But you don't even know my name. Crawl home to you. I ain't that loving you, babe. I ain't that loving you, babe. I ain't that loving you, babe. But you don't even know my name.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, of course, that's Jimmy Reed, the original Ain't That Lovin' You Baby, 1956 on VJ, yeah, Chicago's own. So that request was actually John. He'd made it quite a while ago, and I didn't play it, and the other night he mentioned I played everybody else's, and I've got several more to play for you. So I said, well, yours is going to the head of the stack tonight. So there you go, Jimmy Reed, Ain't That Lovin' You Baby. Baby, don't say that no more is the flip side. All right, so 888-876-5593. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up tonight, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
Can't complain. How about yourself?
Going good. I think tomorrow marks the end of an era on our local NBC affiliate, WYFF.
How so?
A long-time anchor, Carol Clark, is retiring after 40 years.
40 years at the same station?
Yep.
Wow. All right. So that's and I'm aware of her, and she's not a South Carolinian. She's originally like from Michigan or something like that. So how'd she get down to South Carolina and wind up staying? Because I guess she's been there since the mid '80s.
I don't know, but I think she found a job offer in there.
Yeah, right. I'm sure she did. But usually you don't stay that long. And I think she was in Rochester, actually, for a while. And then, yeah, down there and just stayed forever. You don't see that too often.
No, you don't. And she started in 85.
Yeah. All right, well,
yeah.
Wishing her a happy retirement. That's wonderful.
They showed a special of her today called Celebrating Carol Clark.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it took me back when I was a child. It was showing all them old logos and stuff and all past news anchors.
Sure.
Mm-hmm, because I remember they had the old Arrow 4 logo when she started.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so that's... That's interesting because Greenville Spartanburg, I guess it would actually for the Metro, the television, the DMA would include Asheville, North Carolina as well. So it's not as small as you might think as far as that goes. And yeah, NBC at this point, and you got everybody else in Spartanburg and WLOS in Asheville, which has been there forever and on and on. Yeah.
Marcel and Sam Sam Fields and Bob Caldwell, they've been on there for a long time, even Tammy Watford.
That's great. Absolutely great. It's nice when you can have a career like that. And, you know, that's an argument that goes on in broadcasting from time to time. Do you want to be a very big fish in a very small pond, or do you want to try to hit the major markets? And, you know, I can see wisdom in both of those answers, but nice when somebody can comfortably settle in and stay there.
Yeah, like WSBA, Channel 7, CBS, Amy Wood, formerly Amy Marsh, she was there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
Pete Yang was there, Fred Cunningham, and Jack Roper. They've all been there for years.
Yeah. And it's grown, too. You know, you look at the population from the start of this century to now, it's grown significantly. So good for the area. I think that as far as television DMAs, it's number 36.
Yeah, because, you know, our independent station, WGGS, is doing good right now. Because last night I watched one of them old, like, public domain programs. It was called, a cartoon called Flip Flap.
Okay.
And part of the Paramount Novel Tunes from a famous picture that did the Fleischer Studios for Popeye.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was a good cartoon. And also, I watched The Candlemaker from 1957.
Well, GGS is still Channel 16, right? GGS, I don't know if it still is, but it used to be, religious Christian broadcasting. So it's not
it
anymore.
Still is.
Oh, it still is. All right, but they show other stuff in the middle of it. Okay.
Yeah, they show Ozzy and Harriet.
All right.
Beverly Hillbillies, Petticoat right. Junction. Lucy Show and Dusty's Trail.
All right. So in between teaching and preaching, you can get the Little Rascals. All right.
Yeah, the public domain black and white shows.
Well, sure.
And also, like Tuesday through Saturday, they have the late movie where they show like a public domain old movie.
I'll be darned.
And they show drive-in movie bumpers and movie theater bumpers there. All thanks right. for joining the show.
Yeah.
Our feature presentation, which is good.
Well, it was the first independent in South Carolina. And we often talk about it's very hard to be UHF, not only because by 72, of course, all televisions had it, but back in the day, not so true. But the problem with UHF is it requires so many watts that you're paying a lot to be on the air there. So to be able to do that, and I don't know anymore, by the way, because my days are all analog. I have no idea what happens now. But bottom line is that it was a literal fortune to do those use, and that's why a lot of them came and went.
Yeah, like WAXA Channel 40 was an independent station,
mm-hmm.
and then it was our original Fox affiliate until 88, and it moved to WHNS, which is another UHF
yeah.
Channel 21, which was independent at first, and it became a Fox affiliate in 88.
Yeah.
Those were the big, and also WNEG out of Toccoa, Georgia, which is inadequate around here.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, well, it's interesting. All right. Well, good deal. Well, yeah. Thanks for letting me know about Carol, and we wish her the best.
Thank you. And if you talk of all the news that's on these other channels, go to WGGS. You'll never be regretted it.
All right, thanks. I appreciate that. Right, yeah.
Right on.
A lot of these small U's that are, part religious and part whatever they can get, some of those stations can be hilarious, especially if they sell the time to locals, and which used to happen probably more often than it does now because many of them don't have the staff to even do it. But when they were basically a dollar a holler for anybody who wanted to be a TV star, some of those shows were truly hilarious. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and yes, I do have more of your requests coming up. In fact, we had another one from the last one from Sandy in West Dallas, next on WGN Radio.
When I was a kid, I had a rocking horse, rocking to and fro, high and low, where we'd go, no one knows. Thousands of tin soldiers were at my command, dressed in red, dressed in blue, each command always follows.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, that's what Sandy in West Dallas wanted to hear. We played the A side for her the other night, Sorry Suzanne, and yeah, they had a lot going on, but that was actually in kind of their cool period. You know, they had started out with some middling hits here in the States on Imperial, and some of the nicer stuff, I thought, actually, but regardless, then kind of cold for a while, and you know, they came back, but before they came back big time, they had put out Sorry Suzanne and Not That Way At All, and so those are the ones. All right, so good deal. Now, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Jack is in St. Charles. Jack, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Howdy.
What's happening?
I'd like to hear Cozy Cole with Topsy, Part 2.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
And Marjorie Raeburn with I'm Available.
Really? Okay, I don't get that often, but I can play it. I'm Available. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Topsy, Part 2. Yeah, it does make you wonder what was wrong with Part 1. But and yes, I have flipped it over and heard it, but yes, I can see why Part 2 was a hit. Sure, I'll be doing those for you. It might not be tonight. I'll try, but otherwise it'll be next week.
Well, I'll be listening.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the call.
Sure.
All right. Sure. So, yes, fine choices all the way around. 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Last night when the show ended, several people hanging on still. And I always say it, call early. That's that's the key here, because usually in the first hour and a half, first 90 minutes for sure, I won't say we're wide open, although some nights, but for the most part, there's room. So if it's on your mind and if you've been wanting to talk, this would be a fine time to do it at 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. So I mentioned before, bananas are curved. Why? Well, I hate answers that are too simple and too logical, but because they grow toward the sun. That's the deal. It's apparently a negative geotropism, where the stem flexes upward as the plant grows rather than being pulled straight down by gravity. And most fruits just absorb the sunlight and grow down toward the earth, but bananas begin to curve as they're striving to find more sunlight to fuel growth. And so that's the deal. And also has to do with hormones, of course. Everything has to do with hormones, photosensitivity, auxins, and things like that, that influences how the banana reacts to light. Of course, it's interesting because some of them are growing in lush rainforests with dense canopies, which obscures light to such a good, great amount. And that is part of what causes them to grow toward the sky, kind of to break through the light-blocking canopy. And I guess they do it because we're eating them. But it occurs in other environments as well, even where there's plenty of direct sunlight. So the rest of it I can't explain. But that's the deal. That's why they are curved. Now, you know, I know you're excited about that. Karen is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Karen.
Hi. Yeah, I was listening to David last night, the totally blind man from Michigan.
Yes.
Who was getting the technology. Okay. You know what? They were talking about the tapping and gesturing. You know what? Being totally blind myself, I had trouble with that. I would gesture, but then I would tap and discover I was tapping in the wrong place. And I also could not manage screenwriting. So my instructor suggested to me that I get a Bluetooth keyboard, which I did, and I would not be without it. I can do things without a whole lot of trouble, and I can write emails, mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want. And basically because of that suggestion and that keyboard.
Yeah, I believe strongly in those keyboards. You know, I don't use cell phones because I can barely see them. But of course, John has one, and there are times that I'll have to use it. And so I carry a ProArc in my purse, actually, the XK04. But I've got Senda's as well, and others. And yeah, if you're having trouble seeing the screen or you can't see it at all, Bluetooth keyboards can save you. I like the ProtoArc because it connects so easily with Bluetooth. That's the only thing. Is some of them they're kind of funky in terms of how well they connect, and that can be a frustration.
I've got one. Now, if I can connect it, anybody can, believe it. It's called a pluggable, collapsible keyboard.
Right, right. That's what they all are. Who's the brand?
I used to get them.
Who's the brand?
I'm really not sure. Okay. I used to get them from AT Guys, but now you get them from Amazon.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, and you can look it up and make sure it says pluggable, collapsible.
Well, they all do. They all do. No. Trust me, Karen, right. They all do. There's a bunch of brands.
One that I got from Amazon is the same one that I had gotten from AT Guys. And so I'm really like that. And you don't have to worry about turning them off. Once you fold it up, it's turned off.
Yeah.
I had other ones. I had a bridge that you always had to worry about pressing the button and turning it off. And you couldn't tell if it was on or off unless you navigated with it.
No, there's a ton of them, and those are good things to look when you're looking for that. Samsers makes them, and iClever, and a bunch of people, like I say, ProtoArc and Senda. So, there's a lot of them around.
No, I had one that was a collapsible and foldable. Problem with that one was it had a screen on the right side, and the keys were so close together I couldn't navigate.
Yeah, right.
So if he gets one, tell him to make sure he gets one without the screen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and standard size keyboard, I agree.
No, I don't know if that'll help, but it sure helped me. And
that's great.
I got the information from an instructor.
Yeah.
So, another thing I wanted to ask you, quite a while ago, you played a song called Benny's from Heaven.
Oh, yes, exactly. And Eddie Jefferson.
I couldn't remember the man's name. I was trying to get it on Alexa so I could record it for my nephew and send it to him.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny.
Eddie Jefferson, Benny's from Heaven.
Okay, thank you so much.
Absolutely, happy to do it.
I hope I can help Dave out, and I'm rooting for him. Another place he can get help. Now, I am a member of the American Council of the Blind, Metro Chicago, but they do have an American Council for the Blind in Michigan. Now, I don't know exactly where, but you can get help. Our Metro Chicago one actually has a technology committee, and you can call any of those folks on that committee and they'll help you.
Yeah, no, that's great. Absolutely. There's a lot of resources, and I hope he'll start to use some of them.
I hope so, too, and I'm rooting for him.
Absolutely.
I had a lot of trouble, and I can understand anybody who's having a tough time. I really did.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where at first it seems insurmountable, and then when somebody shows you how to do it, suddenly it's like, well, hell, this is easy as can be. So it's a question of just knowing it sometimes, and usually that just takes somebody who will be able to sit with you for a day or whatever and just say, hey, here's the deal, and then you're fine.
And when you first start out, they show you things that aren't so complicated.
Right.
But the further you get into it, the worse it gets. And I'm, oh, my God. I thought I was pretty good at it. Now I discovered I am not.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, but no, there's so many things as far as that where, you know, there's a ton of tips. And when you finally learn one, you say, why didn't I know this years ago? But that's part of the deal. All right. You've ended the hour, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Have a good one.
You too. So we'll talk to, Naota's going to tell us about the earthquake today. Yep, Japan, you betcha. Not too bad, I understand. We'll find out. Gary and Elmhurst, we're going to talk about Nat Cole and more. Plenty of room for you next hour right here on WGN Radio.
I've been
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and that is, oh man, Linda Jones. And yeah, you probably know her hit Hypnotized, at least you should. She was on Loma in the mid-60s, and I'll tell you what, Hypnotized, probably one of the biggest East LA records, a huge, huge Hispanic fan base on that. But Linda Jones was terrific. And so it was that she was 27 years old in 1972, and she was appearing at the Apollo. And in between sets, she went home to her mom's house in New Jersey to rest. She was kind of tired. Well, the bottom line is she died. All right. And it's never been conclusively proven what happened, but it's believed she was a diabetic, that she went into a coma. And that was it. So, you know, didn't show up for the rest of the Apollo gig. And that's precisely why. Very, very sad. She would have turned 81 this week had she lived. But I'll tell you, in the mid-60s, she was just tearing them up with Hypnotized and What Have I Done. All right, so 888-876-5593. Earthquake today. Naoto is in Japan. So what happened?
Yeah, the earthquake hasn't been that bad around my area.
Uh-huh. So did you feel it at all?
Yeah, during my sleep, you know, I felt like, oh, it's a little bit shaking, uh-huh. But it's not that much, you know.
And this one was bigger, wasn't this like a 6.7?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around that.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I know Japan has a lot of earthquakes. There's like 1,500 a year, and most of them aren't yeah. really big. I guess the real big one was that 9 point in 2011. But still, it yeah. it seems yeah. like there's been a wave of them lately that are concerning people. And of course, a lot of people yeah. are looking at Fukushima, which continues to be mm-hmm. a problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, people are talking about, you know, around the Tokyo area can be dangerous. You know, there might be a huge earthquake that will happen within like 30 years.
Right. Well, I guess so you're what, happen. About, you were about what, 700 miles from the epicenter of this one?
Yeah, I think yeah. it's somewhere around that number.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about one thing.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to talk to one of my favorite musical artists.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like Adam Jones from Two. Do you know Two? Like, musical band?
No.
Yeah, maybe like it's not the kind of music you like. But,
yeah, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I have the opportunity to talk to him and, you know,
yeah,
you know, take a picture with him, and it was so like an unforgettable experience. So uh-huh. it was nice.
Good. Good. Now, the only thing I remember when I think about top 40 music and Japan is when this idiot who's no longer alive brought Pink Lady over to do a television show here, not realizing that they didn't speak a word of English.
That would be funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Pink Lady and Jeff. And Jeff was the guy who spoke English. And, yeah, it was just, and it was NBC. I mean, this was a major network. And this was Paul Drew, who's no longer alive, a programmer here. I don't know what he saw in Pink Lady, but he thought they were going to be the biggest thing ever. Did they ever do much in Japan?
Yeah, I think they did, you know.
Yeah, well, of course, people there could understand them. I understood. Yeah, yeah. Pink Lady. Yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge of pop music in Japan. Right. Well, and of course, Kyu Sakamoto, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, can I talk about the one more thing?
Of course.
Yeah. I attended a live concert of the band yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So, it's not really like my friends are all listening to them. So it was very nice to meet, you know, fans, you know,
yeah.
who has like same interest
yeah.
as me.
Yeah.
And they, you know, fans are all around the world. Like many of them are from US and some of them are from India. You know, it was very international.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was so nice to, you know, talk to those people.
Right. Now, are you doing some of this on the web, yeah, kind of getting in groups back and forth talking?
Not really. I just, you know, let them in the stadium, you know, live venue, and, you know, talk to them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
oh, good.
Nice. Cool.
No, that's good. Well, now you've motivated me. I'm going to have to get online later and hear some of the current Japanese rock and roll. See what we got here. Maybe, mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way, the band I attended yesterday was from U.S., not Japanese band.
Uh huh.
So, you know, maybe you knew it, but
okay.
Yeah, just to let you know.
All right, good deal. Well, excellent. Always good to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much. By the way, I appreciate last night's caller who was talking about me.
Yeah.
He was maybe like talking about my sense of humor was nice, yeah, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good deal.
So I really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Nayoto. Okay, bye.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
So, excellent. So, 888-876-5593. And, you know, a couple of people say, I really like Nayoto, but I can't understand very much. You know, part of this has to do with how fast language is spoken. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but languages are very distinct in whether they're, you know, slow or fast. And the Japanese language, just like the Spanish language, also spoken very, very quickly. By comparison, English is considerably slower. I think it's like 300 syllables in Japanese per minute and 200 in the U.S. I think it's a little more than that in Germany. But Spanish, as I say, is kind of in line with that. And there's, you know, linguists would tell you exactly why or whatever. But so it's very easy when you're normally speaking rapid fire to continue to speak rapid fire. But for some folks, they're like, I'm only getting every fifth word. Well, that's all you need, really. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Gary is in Elmhurst. What's happening, Gary?
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Really enjoy your show all the time when I'm winding down at night.
Well, thank you.
And especially the music-related items. So last night you played Nat Cole.
Yeah, my favorite.
That Sunday. I absolutely love that song, too.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. First time I heard it, you know, many, many years ago, I've loved it.
Yeah.
And then I thought of my second favorite Nat Cole was Tis Autumn. You've heard that.
Uh-huh. I think my second favorite would be That's All.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too, yeah.
But there are so many.
Tis Autumn, he does it. Yeah, he says so many.
Yeah.
But in Tis Autumn, he does a nice little piano touch. And it shows what a good pianist he was, but he ended up being a singer, really.
So. Yeah, well, of course, some of that early stuff when it was a Still King Cole's trio, you get some of those piano licks in those.
Yeah, and very nice, tasteful.
Yeah.
And the other song was the Glen Campbell.
Without You?
Without Her.
Without Her.
Yeah. And so I got to thinking about that last night and today, and it sounded familiar. And so I looked up and found that where I heard that before,
Harry Nilsson,
was on Blood, Sweat, and Tears, an album before David Clayton Thomas.
Yes.
You've heard it.
Yes.
Very jazz, bossa nova version.
Yes, absolutely.
Really nice.
Yeah. No, that's a great song. Yeah. And I think Glen Campbell, who was mostly a guitarist, a session guitarist in L.A. for years, I like his guitar licks on that. I think it's nicely done.
Yeah. Really nice. And he has that plaintive voice. I mean, he can make you ache and feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's right. That emotive voice. Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That was all I had for tonight.
Well, I'm thrilled you called, Gary. Do it again.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Your pretty brown eyes, your wavy hair, I won't go home no more, 'cause you're not there. I'm telling you now, like I told you before, I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Lipstick traces on a cigarette,
every memory lingers with me yet. I've got it bad, like I told you before. I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more.
Won't you come on home?
Oh, won't you come on home?
Won't you come back home?
Oh, won't you come back home? I'm crazy about you, can't do without you. Oh, won't you come on home? Lipstick traces on a cigarette. Every memory lingers with me yet. I've got it bad, like I told you before. I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James. Yeah, Benny Spellman, he was so good. And, of course, Lipstick Trace is probably his biggest. Alan Toussaint wrote that. And the B-side was Fortune Teller, which also was Alan Toussaint writing that as well. And he was wonderful. He's from Pensacola, actually, not New Orleans, but he had gone to Southern University in Baton Rouge and was singing there. And he met Huey Piano Smith, but not in Baton Rouge, in Florida, back in Pensacola. They were at an auto accident, and after wrecking their car, Spellman offered to drive him back to New Orleans. So he did, and Huey Piano Smith offered him to sing in his group, and so he said, I'm staying in New Orleans. He did a lot of backup stuff, you know, Mother-in-Law, that's Ernie Cato in the background there, and more. And then a couple things on Minute, like Fortune Teller in 1962. Then he kind of gave up on music in latter 60s, which a lot of these guys do, because there just wasn't much happening, and wound up as a public relations guy for Miller. And after that, he was, by the 80s, he said, I'm going to make a comeback. And sadly, he had a stroke. And so he moved back to Pensacola and unfortunately lived in an assisted living facility in Pensacola and died in 2011, 79 years old. But if he were still with us today, he would be 94 years old. Yeah, on this date. So, all right, rest in peace, Benny Spellman. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I love that Benny Spellman record.
Me
That's
too.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you had the guy on I missed the name of the station. He's on Saturday morning.
Okay, I am going to do a link on Raleigh.net for it. Is it my BMR? BMR.com. And BN, like N like Nancy, not like B. Mitchell Reed, BNR.com.
Okay.
And and there's a bunch of people, and you can see Steve Jarrell in the lineup and all that kind of stuff.
For those who have the Simple Radio app, they have a bunch of beach music stations there.
Oh, that's great.
They have, of course, 94.9 in the surf, and
right.
There's one called Big Wave 77.
Uh-huh.
I think their call letters are WLWL, I believe.
All right.
And they're on there. And then there's some other, I think one that Johnny mentioned was beachwavesradio.com. I think they're on there too. And there are a few others that I'd have to open the app to look at it, and I can't do that right now. But I have like six or seven of them in there. So
yeah, I think that WLWL, that 770, it is on 770, which of course, you know, made it basically a daytimer. And so that I think that's Rockingham. So yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Yeah. Good.
They have some artifacts in their stream, like some hum or something.
Oh,
there,
well,
I listen to them anyway.
Probably have some artifacts in the audio chain.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I have any pictures of their studios, but
yeah.
But yeah, they're your basic daytimer. They are decent daytime signal. It's like 5,000 watts, but then of course it's rundown at sundown.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty sure they were just a daytimer.
Yeah.
closer to 750 miles from New York. So,
right, and they didn't sign on until about 1970. They were not there in the 60s, and they were of the people who was doing the AM stereo, the CQAM system. Yeah, I remember. I don't know if they may still be, for all I know. But Rockingham is the Sand Hills. It's the middle of nowhere, I guess. Charlotte's about 70 miles away, and I don't guarantee the station covers Charlotte.
Yeah. I don't know how many other actual radio stations run it, but I know of those two.
Yeah.
I know there used to be one in Winston-Salem that was on 1500
okay.
for a while. But I think they are some sort of Christian format.
A dollar a holler, let's just sell the time by the hour.
Yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, for some AM stations, it's cheaper. But that's probably SMX. So I'm aware of them. And
they've been gone for quite a few years now. But
yeah, well, I think they're still on the air.
Yeah, I mean, they've been gone from beach music is what I mean.
Right. Oh, yeah. But, they've been gone. You were close with they've been gone. You know, they have like 100 watts. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We'll pick it up right there, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Delbert McClinton doing Van Morrison's Bright Side of the Road, and it was Billy Bob who requested that. And yeah, Van Morrison, who wrote it, put it out in 79. A year later, Delbert McClinton covered it in 1980. It's on his album, The Jealous Kind. So that's what Billy Bob wanted to hear, and now he has. And we're talking to Gary in Austin about off-the-beaten-path radio stations, to say the least. You know, that little Winston-Salem, that 1500, that had power for when it started. It was a country station. The only reason I know it was
right.
From like 64 to 76 or something, it was country. And I used to promote country records to them. I remember they had a general manager whose name was Curly Howard, and obviously it wasn't his given name. Yes, he named himself after one of the Three Stooges. All right, sounds good to me. If you play the records, I don't care. But
they look like pies anyway.
I don't know what happened to them. There's probably something online about it. But like I say, they had about 10,000 watts as a daytimer, and Stuart Epperson, the guy who started Salem, owned it. And then he sold it, and then after country, they were one of the NIS affiliates, the NBC News and Information. Yeah, right. And that lasted about a New York minute. And so after that, then it went to Christian programming geared to the African-American audience. I thought, well, that's a limited group of preachers you're selling to, but okay. After all, you're only trying to fill the daytime hours. But they had a number of them. And then they became Radio La Movida. And I thought that was interesting because there was this great show in Mexico that Veronica Castro used to do, La Movida. And so I thought, wow, well, it's Radio La Movida. I don't know. So that lasted, about 2 minutes longer. And so then, like you say, they were like oldies and beach for a minute there. And I think a guy from TOB went there. And I think that's how it happened.
I remember when I first heard about beach music, you were on KOA.
Oh, yeah.
And you were talking, you were mentioning some songs like I've Been Hurt by Bill Deal and the Rondells and some other ones. And I said, I'm a beach music fan without even knowing about it.
Well, you weren't alone. Many of the beach music stars didn't know about it either. And I've told that story many times about I ran into Willie T in Louisiana in Metairie. I'll never forget it. Walking through the lobby of the Gateway Hotel in Metairie, walking to Willie T. Hey, it's Willie T. God, well, I'm going to see you next week in Myrtle Beach. And he looked at me like I was growing horns. What are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, you probably want to check this out because there is somebody who will be on stage next week claiming they're Willie T. And sure enough, he did check it out and found out, yeah, there was imposters. And that was true for so many of them. But after that, he wound up playing Myrtle Beach for a while.
And
I've been gone a while now. But I loved Willie T. Yeah, Teasing You. What a great song. So a lot of these artists had no... Patty Drew, I don't think, ever knew that Tell Him was a beach music smash.
There's so much great music. I just love listening to it.
Well, you know, it all has it, you can do the shag to all of it, so it's got a definable beat. But other than that, it's, you know, almost all R&B because the name beach music cloaked the fact that it was R&B. You know, you'd hear these at the Carolina jukeboxes. You couldn't go back home and say, I want to hear those race records, that Harlem Hit Parade. So you'd say, I want to hear the music at the beach, that beach music. So that's where that comes
from.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read about that. But I was good to.
In fact, now that we're talking about it, I have got to get in touch with John Hook. Fessa Hook, John Hook, he came to Charlotte in the mid-60s, and he is just like the beach music fanatic. He did a number of shows, and he had It Will Stand magazine. You know, he was always starting magazines that really did kind of preserve the history of this. And I got an email from him. It's probably been a year ago. He moved back to Kansas City, living with family. I got to get in touch with him and get him on the radio.
Oh, that'd be great to hear that.
Because Fessa Hook, he was a real big deal there. Yeah, he went to Top 40, not Waze. I forget who the competitor to Waze was. It was owned by the guy who had the department store, Henderson Belk. Can't think of it. But anyway, it wasn't much of a station. But he never left Charlotte, and he did all these great beach music things. And he was a little bit involved with, you know, not only It Will Stand magazine, but one of the other big things was Chris Beachley of that big record store in Charlotte. I wonder if they're still around. God, I hope so. I did see Pete Smullen from Repeat is dead, sadly. Died in 2023, had cancer for 13 years, which I didn't know. I can't tell about Marion Carter yet. I couldn't find him. Chris Beachley, I wonder. I hope he's alive. Let's see. Yeah, I hate to do that. Well, he was calling it quits in 2017. The Wax Museum was the name of it. Oh, that's so sad. Well, I don't know if he's around, but the Wax Museum closed in 2017. Oh, what a shame. Yeah. Oh, well, hopefully he's retired and still loving beach music, at least listening to it.
Yeah. Hopefully he's hanging out in Myrtle Beach someplace.
Yeah, because he did some partnerships with John Hook on some stuff, and got to do that because the guy who first put together like the top 100 of all time beach music charts and all that was John Hook. He really did all that stuff. He kind of codified it. So I'll have to have to see what I can do. In fact, I just found a post from 2017, but from him saying the Beach Music Top 40 Countdown celebrated its 26th birthday in September. Yeah, that's the show that he was doing, but I don't think he is anymore. But I'll find out. Yeah, it's important. You know, he's somebody who's on my list to call back, and this one I'm not going to let him die. I'm not. We are going to get him one way or another. I say that, and I'm holding my breath, thinking he better still be alive. But I'll find out. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right.
Just some thoughts on that, and a quick comment on Bluetooth keyboards. I'm trying to find one with the issues with my hands.
Yes.
I need to find somewhere the keys are a little more detailed and, you know, have some kind of marking, say, on the F and J key. And the one
right.
I've gotten a couple of them, and there's no break in them. So I am on the hunt for a good one. So
yeah, and there are a bunch of them. But the big thing also is it's got to be something that the keys are far enough apart. You know, when they squish them together because they make them, you know, foldable, that can be a problem. But I would think Amazon might be your friend on this because you will wind up reading the reviews, and I bet you, you know, because I know they have like large print keyboards, but that's not you want it to be tactile as well. It should be.
But I
bet you there's something on Amazon that would be really good, and all right, I'll look too. We'll see what
you
find.
Yeah, all right.
All right, good deal. All right, thanks.
Great.
Always good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Good to talk to you, too. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I just looked this up while we're talking, and it seems to me like, boy, this is something that absolutely should be in plentiful supply, tactile keyboards. Even if you can see the thing, there's nothing like having that tactile access so that you know you're actually typing the letters you think you are before you look down and realize that it's got to be encoded or something. But I realize that it's a perfectly wonderful time to hear the latest from 2020 news, today's episode from Kevin and Steve.
Parking Lot Lunacy, plus Banking Bad, and Statue of Wizardry. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Queens Parking Panic. A simple parking space scuffle in Queens turned into a street-side slaughterhouse when a man lost his cool and a patch of pavement turned into a crime scene calamity. Surveillance shows tempers flare, fists fly, then suddenly steel hits flesh and chaos erupts. He pulled out a knife, turned the dispute deadly, and in the blink of an eye, two people were stabbed, a crowd scattered, and a car became a weapon on wheels. Seconds later, the suspect sped away, leaving behind a trail of terror and tragedy. Police now call the scene a textbook case of a parking spot gone bad, because apparently the real shortage in New York isn't parking spaces, it's self-control. Crystal meth. I'd like to shake a deposit, the crank crawler claimed. Some dope in rural Ohio pulling up to a drive-through ATM and inadvertently depositing what detectives declare was a crystal blue transaction. A mind-boggling meth misfire. The blamed bank Claude booked not long after. The local sheriff, otherwise known as Captain Obvious, says illegal drugs don't belong in bank drive-throughs. Cleverly thrills cop. Never say die, nitty-gritty Detroit City finally hails RoboCop. Nearly 40 years after the futuristic flick exposed Motown as Murder City, USA, an 11-foot-tall, 3,500-pound statue of RoboCop stands tall north of downtown. The big bronze bruiser sat in storage for close to a decade. Now it's not exactly situated in the city center, but the rise of the RoboCop statue is a stirring symbol of a singular city whose remarkable renaissance coincides with key crime rate reductions to levels not seen in 60 years. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
All right, so there you have it. All right, news that you've heard, but maybe not said that way. So, speaking of news that you've heard, I saw something really interesting online when I was looking for something completely else, and it was just maddening. And what it was a couple who had landed at DFW in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and their luggage was stolen. Well, it had a happy ending from the standpoint of they know exactly where their luggage is because they had chips in it, which would, you know, find my luggage type chips. So they knew exactly where it was. And they think, okay, this is great. I've even got an address. I know exactly what it is. I'm going right to the police. And the police said, well, that's not enough information. Huh? Yeah, right. And so what do you mean? Well, we can't act on that. And so they went further. And they actually recorded this guy who had the luggage. He was walking with, not only was he walking with the luggage, but to add insult to injury, he was wearing one of the T-shirts that had been in the luggage that the guy who had his luggage stolen was his shirt. He recognized it instantly. And this is just clear as day in the videos. And the cops say, it's just not enough. We there's nothing we can do. And they said, you know, there's one thing that, let's say we did a knock and talk. We don't have enough information to, you know, force our way in there. It's like, huh? Well, there are the laws. But they said, if we do that, the chances are that the guy's going to move the luggage. Well, yeah, it's probably true. So meanwhile, here's this couple, and they know exactly where their luggage is. They see their clothes being worn by the thieves. And there's utterly nothing they can do about it. Yeah, now that's just enraging. I don't know. The first thing I thought about was, well, it seemed like a pretty mild-mannered couple, but man, you steal luggage from the wrong person, they're going to take matters into their own hands to get it back, and it's not going to be pretty. Yeah, so, you know, looking at it, one of the television news stations did some follow-up and investigate and talked to the cops at various police departments, and, you know, pretty much all of them were in agreement that nothing we can do. And this, by the way, was on the heels of another horror story of somebody's home taken over by squatters, and they can't get it back. Yeah, that is just amazing to me that is happening. It's even happened in some cases to people who were doing like the Airbnb things, and people who are just not leaving and not paying. And in some cases, they're not getting their houses back, at least not in any time frame that we would understand. So, yeah, talk about frustration. So 888-876-5593. 31 languages have a word, or maybe it's an expression, that is the same in all of them, at least 31. So you think about words that appear in multiple languages. Well, here's one that actually is, I think it's more of an expression. But regardless, it's in 31 different languages. What do you think it is? I'll tell you in minutes here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1982 on Motown. Yes, Jermaine Jackson. Let me tickle your fancy. Let me excite your soul. And he turned 71 years old this week, and of course, still with us, and that's a good thing. So I actually kind of like that song. I'm not 100% sure why, because I don't question the good things. There just aren't enough of them. Stan in Dearborn joins us. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I think you have another beach music fan here.
Oh, good, good. Were you aware of it before this?
Well, I've heard of beach music before, and yeah. Back when there was a movie called The Shag, we saw that.
Oh, God.
And, you know, thought that was pretty good music. But I've always, you know, liked the Tams and...
Chairman of the Board.
Showman.
Yeah, The Showman. Yeah, yeah, sure. That's General Johnson. Doesn't get more beach music than that.
Yeah, and then what you said, Willie T.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to play Walking Up a One-Way Street the other
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, that. And Thank You, John. Yes, of course.
And Patty Drew?
Yes.
Beach music?
Yeah. Tell Him? Tell Him was absolutely a beach music smash.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah.
I'll
take some. What are yours?
Well, knowing what music I like, you probably know what music I like. These are kind of different for me. It would be,
right.
A guilty pleasure doesn't have to be a hit.
It doesn't really have to be a hit. But what it really has to be more than anything is something that you really love, but you're mortified to admit it. You know, those songs that you think they're just the best ever. Like for me, like Alice in Wonderland by Neil Sedaka. I should not admit I love this record. So that's a guilty pleasure.
Okay, I think I got a couple for you.
All right.
And probably you're the only one I'll probably know them.
Okay.
Everybody's Got a Ya-Ya.
Absolutely. Well, what's wrong with that record?
Three by Counts. Yeah. Well, it's not really R&B.
Well, no, it's really harmony. Yeah, right, exactly. But it's not. It's respectable.
Yeah. Okay. And another one I have is "Love Kitten" by Noreen Corcoran.
Oh, I don't know this. I know the Viscounts, obviously. You know everybody, but no, Noreen Corcoran.
Yeah, from 1963.
Oh, no, I'm going to find
this. It sounds like a Phil Spector production. That's why I liked it.
And what's the title?
It's a girl group song.
And it's what's the title?
Love Kitten.
Love Kitten. I was afraid you said that. Yeah.
I
don't know. Well, you know, during the news, I'm going to be listening to Love Kitten. Hang on a minute. Stay right where you are. We will pick it up right here. Don't go away, Stan. All right. More coming up on WGN Radio.
Looking for love.
I'm a love kitty.
Bow, 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 bow.
Kitty, 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 oh yeah. Do you think I'm pretty?
Bow, 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 bow.
Pretty, 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 oh yeah. Hold me tight until I turn. Run your fingers through my fur. Love kitten. Love kitten. Love kitten.
Looking for love.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I don't know how I missed it. Yes, Noreen Corcoran. If the name sounds vaguely familiar, she was on Bachelor Father. She played Kelly. And so VJ was getting out to L.A. about this time. And 63, you know, they had luck with the Four Seasons, so why not sign somebody else who's not a soul act? Nino Tempo wrote it and produced it. He's probably the male vocal behind her. I don't know. But Stan called it to my attention. I have absolutely never heard that. You know, it was recorded at Gold Star, so it very well may have been the Ronettes behind her.
Yeah, that was a big production. That's what I liked about it. And
Yeah, well...
Now you know why it's a guilty pleasure.
Well, it's interesting. Like I say, Nino Tempo was close to Phil Spector, and, you know, being Gold Star and right there in the area, I wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot of other people in on the act. And, of course, she was a quasi-star at the time, you know, with the TV role. So, and they,
yeah, I didn't know about the TV role. I just, I kind of remember that was one of my car record player songs. That's been long gone from me for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. No, she was an actress of I don't know how much note, but she, a child actress. She was like an Apache Drums and Dr. Kildare and all, Gidget Goes to Rome, you know, Mr. Novak, little things like that. And it was actually Ronald Reagan who recommended her for Kelly Grigg on a new CBS TV series, Bachelor Father. And that was 57 to 62. So she had just concluded that. I think the last thing she did on TV was The Big Valley. And then she retired or whatever. Nothing much about her. I don't think she ever got married. I don't think she ever had kids. So there weren't any real stories there. But she's been dead, I guess, about a decade now. But anyway, that is fascinating. And now, so you mentioned the Viscounts, or the three Viscounts, depending on when they released it. But in case anybody's missed, everybody's got a ya-ya.
They took a vote of popularity. The one who would be voted the loneliest is me.
Goes with Millie, and Billy goes with Sue. Sarah Jane and Willie, yes, they're a twosome too. Teddy goes with Betty, they're as happy as can be. Everybody's got a ya-ya, everybody but me.
was a cute little record. And of course, they did a cover of Who Puts the Bomb in the Bomb. And they were on some ridiculous British TV show that involved, I don't remember, it was like accordions or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another car record player song that's been long gone for me.
Yeah.
And So
I'm encouraged you had a car record player, as did I. Which one do you have? Do you remember?
ARC 2500.
Oh, all right. So, and how often, when you're tracking at 9 zillion grams, how often did you have to replace the records?
Well, a lot. In fact, I think I've got about a dozen copies of I've Got to Dance to Keep from Crying by the Miracles.
Yeah.
Because they got wore out, and I just kept, buying another one.
Right. I saved one. I saved Foolish Little Girl by the Shirelles, which, of course, is horrible because it was on polystyrene to begin it. But I swear the thing is white. It completely changed colors. So,
I've got a few like that. Yeah. I've got a big box downstairs of, like kind of warped edges or, maybe doubles and some of that real, real scratchy, like, V minus, minus, minuses.
Right.
And, my wife told me, throw those things out. I said, okay.
Oh, no. So,
well, we did because a lot of them were from the Sun. I just had them because of the labels.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the problem with that is occasionally I'd leave the records in the car, and I remember one time I left the cellos. I am the Japanese Sandman, rang tang ding dong, and I left it on the dashboard, and it got the most interesting little warp. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it, and I think I've still got it somewhere because it's like, huh, how did it do that? So
somebody for a Christmas present, gave us a couple warped records that are like for potato chip dips or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to do, it's terrible to admit, but when I was with the Columbian Epic, I would take a lot of the stuff that they'd have tons of, and I'd put them in the oven, and I'd mold them. I'd mold them into ashtrays and things like that. Yeah, why not? So that's nice, right? There aren't, Sears had a little deal that I think Sears was selling the ARC 2500. I don't remember if they made it or not, but
I got mine at a local place called it Frank's Radio.
Okay.
Just a shop there.
Yeah.
And the other night when you were talking to, I forget who you were talking to, but you said, I know that Bertha Tillman's your favorite record.
Yes.
And you said you mentioned Who Do You Love by the Sapphire.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a record called It's Raining Teardrops by the Rockmasters?
Oh, yes. Isn't that interesting, the intro of it?
Yeah.
I know. I have that, and I often talk about that. And, the deal is none of these records made any money. So
that's true, yeah.
So nobody sues you. But, I loved Raining Teardrops. And for anybody who doesn't know what the intro sounds, because it is virtually the same.
Yeah.
There's so many like that where, and of course, the other thing, the Sapphires, you probably know this, but they followed Who Do You Love with a Soundalite record. I found out too late.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked that too, because it was basically the same record. And I think I've talked about this on the air. When I got to Philadelphia, I always wanted to live in a place like that because of the music, right? And so I had turned down all these other jobs in cities I didn't want to live in. And so finally, Philadelphia, all right, I'm going. And so I get there, and a mutual friend says, Jerry Ross listens to you at night. He'd love to be on your show. And I, my heart almost stopped. Jerry Ross, oh, my God. And, this is a god to me, right? And so for people who don't know, of course, he produced an awful lot of nice R&B stuff, and there wouldn't be a Gamble and Huff if it weren't for Jerry Ross. But anyhow, so I'm all prepared, and he's coming Friday night, and he's on the air with me. And it took me about 20 minutes to realize that the only thing he remembered were the records that made him a lot of money. And so I remember there was one, Virgil, what was Virgil's last name? But it's a record I absolutely loved that he produced. I didn't even remember that it existed. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah, you ain't saying nothing new. You know that, right? Or maybe
no,
you don't.
I don't.
Oh, we got to.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, you got to hear a little of "You Ain't Saying Nothing New." And that was on Colossus in 1970. I thought it was a great song.
And who was it by?
Virgil Henry. And
Virgil Henry.
Yeah, it's interesting because that record was leased to Tamla. Virgil Henry's real name was Gil Blanding, obviously, and so that's where you'd know the name probably.
Oh.
But he was Virgil Blanding for a while, and then it was Jerry Ross who turned him into Virgil Henry. And so Berry Gordy contacted him and said, you know, we could release that on Motown. I think they released it on Tamla. It didn't hit there either. But I thought it was a great record. And Jerry Ross didn't even remember the guy existed. It was so sad. So that's when I realized early on that, you know, his love of the music was a little different than I was expecting.
Did you play a record by The Ones earlier?
Earlier tonight? No.
No? Okay. I thought I heard... Want the Ones.
Okay.
O-N-E-S.
Yeah, right. What did you think you heard?
Oh, I just thought I heard someone say that record was by The Ones or something about The Ones.
Okay.
But I was just going to say that The Ones had a record on Motown.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were trying to get into the British sound at that time, I think,
right.
In 67.
Right. Danny Hernandez's group, I think.
I think that sounds right.
They were on Spirit, I think, before Motown, and then they shifted over to Rare Earth. Don't know.
Yeah, Rare Earth.
Yeah,
yeah,
don't know what. But yeah, it was Danny Hernandez and The Ones. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, when you mentioned Philadelphia, it gave me a thought of a couple records I have by a group called the Philadelphians.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
On campus.
Yes, yes.
And during the Christmas season, I used to play church bells all the time. Because it's not really a Christmas song, but it's just got that spirit, that feeling of happiness. You know?
Absolutely. Church bells and Coming Home to You.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love them. You betcha.
Yep. When you mentioned Philadelphia, that's what I thought of right away.
Yeah, so many great records like that. And like I say, my frustration is I'm sure there's tens of thousands I've never heard that I love. I realize there are millions I've never heard that I don't want to hear twice. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, right, exactly. But there's got to be literally hundreds and hundreds that would just be all-time faves, and we're never going to hear these records.
Yeah, well, just like you say a lot of times, I like to be in a third floor
at Val Shively's. Yeah, I'll tell you what. And he used to give me free roam of the store, which was a danger, actually. I remember I once wound up getting a splinter in a toe, and I didn't realize I had it for weeks. But in any event, I mean, it was unbelievable. But he's never been through his records. He just doesn't care. And it breaks my heart. I would be categorizing every one of those things. And
I remember when... A couple of my friends were dealing with them. They said, if you call Val Shively, don't say doo-wop. He doesn't like that term.
Vocal group. It isn't.
Vocal group harmony.
That's right. It's vocal group harmony. Well, you know, doo-wop was a Gus Gussert made-up word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a sad fate, too, Gus Gussert. Still don't know what got him murdered. But he certainly was the one who came up with doo-wop. But yeah, no, Val and Val loves those funeral dirges, you know, the vocal group harmony from like 1950 that you're never going to want to hear in your life, and he just thinks they're the best ever, you know.
So, yeah, I know.
So we used to have debates about some of that because he was really not a soul guy, but he had a guy working for him for a while, John from Brookhaven. I don't know whatever happened to John from Brookhaven, but that guy knew soul, and it was just a delight to talk to him because he would turn me on to things that I would otherwise never have known.
I was kind of the opposite. I liked the rhythm part. I used to like When You Dance by the Turbans.
Oh yeah,
G by the Crows, and then when they turned them over and they had the ballads. A lot of them had ballads on one side, on the other.
And some of the ballads were just horrible. The one I remember that was just the worst was The Silhouettes, The Flip of Get a Job, I Am Lonely. This is the worst record I've ever heard. But, you know, the Turbans did some nice stuff in addition to, like, When You Dance or Sister Sookie. I love their Golden Rings.
Oh, yeah. I like, that's great. I liked a lot of the Turbans' ballads.
I'm Nobody's.
Yes.
Absolutely.
In fact, that's the other side of Bingo, I think.
Yeah, right.
And, And the other side of it is still The Night by the Five Satins, The Jones Girl.
Right.
I used to like The Jones Girl with the horrible sax.
Interlude. Well, the Five Satins did one of my all-time favorite records, actually, Our Anniversary.
Yes.
I just think it's a beautiful song. And only reason that New Haven was a place I wanted to visit. Absolutely no other reason.
And I think that's one of the first ones I bought in the Still of the Night.
Well, a classic.
Just
a classic, I think, everybody. You know, that's one of the things that was a huge hit, and you can see why. So I hope they got more than 27 cents in royalties.
Yeah, there's a few that are just classics, like I Want to Have Eyes for You.
And the Flamingos. Oh, man.
And They Kind of Love. Yep. You know, and
the harp tones.
Earth Angel. The times, you know.
Well, and of course,
the times.
Earth Angel was the B-side. It was Huggy.
That's right.
It was Huggy Boy who flipped that when he was playing records from Dolphins of Hollywood, which was not in Hollywood. It was in South Central L.A. But he was in the window there, and he flipped that because they were plugging Hey Senorita.
But it first came out in Detroit. We had Earth Angel, and then they turned it over.
Oh, to Hey Senorita? Yeah.
To Hey Senorita.
Right.
So, you know, it was funny how regions had different sounds or different...
Absolutely.
Different records, yeah.
Absolutely, and that's what made it wonderful. Like, I would love to go to a place like Pittsburgh, where there was nothing better than some of those Pittsburgh oldies, which you just didn't hear anywhere else.
That's right, yeah. What was his name? The
Pork with the Torque. Porky Chedwick.
Porky Chedwick,
Porky Chedwick at Wham-O. He was wonderful. But there were a ton of little guys who would be, you know, in stations in suburban Pittsburgh, hard to believe, or exurban Pittsburgh, that would just have these weekend, oldie shows playing things that I otherwise would never hear. Just wonderful.
Yeah, a friend of mine went to college with a guy from Pittsburgh, and, an oldies guy, kind of like us, and, he used to just, come out with some records for us and tapes and give songs we'd never heard. Just great stuff. Yeah,
right. Really great stuff. And all this is going to die with us. You know, there's really, there's not going to be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the Phoebe label. You know, it's just not going to happen.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
A couple of stores I used to deal with, the Attic.
Sure.
In Pittsburgh.
Sure.
And Itzy's.
Itzy's, of course. Itzy's, actually, he later put out a bunch of CDs with a bunch of, 20 volumes of the Pittsburgh stuff. Yeah, I got all that Itzy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
Yeah.
That sent in with my order.
Okay, yeah, no, I made sure I got everyone in the collection and all that, just in case. And, of course, you probably also have all the stuff from, he's no longer with us, but the guy in New Jersey from, you know what I mean.
United Group Harmony Association.
Yes, from UGHA. And he put out those Ultimate Doo-Wop volumes.
Yeah, I've got all those 44 volumes.
Right, 44 volumes of stuff nobody's ever heard. It did have things that literally I'd never heard anywhere else that are just wonderful. So
Ronnie I.
Right, Ronnie I. That's exactly right, and he's no longer with us. Right, UGHA.
Yeah, we went there a couple times, a friend of mine, to a couple of the meetings, UGHA meetings, we went to New Jersey. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
I got stuff to do in the news, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
When your stomach speaks, you forget your mind. When your mind
my dreams. She did a little dance. It seemed so popular. And I lost my heart in darkest Africa. She did a dance.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it was on Chest Records. Not Chess. That would be Chest Records. Donald and the Delighters. That's Native Girl Elephant Walk. It actually is a Chicago record, but boy, was it ever big in Pittsburgh. In fact, that's the first place I ever heard it. So we're talking with Stan for another moment here, who, like me, just adores it. So in terms of that, has there been anything in the last decade that you found that you didn't know before?
Let me think. The last decade that I found I never knew before. Oh, geez. There probably has been.
Yeah.
There's been a few that I can't, you know, nothing that really
comes to mind immediately. But I'll bet you if you think about it, even if we extend it to this century, things that you happened upon that, you know, had been out there since like 1954 and you're like, damn, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, there's. I've got some records that I play, and I said, I can't believe I never played this one before.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah.
And so I do that, and I catch a lot of, like I say, I'm a kind of a new beach music fan now because I catch some over on the on Cooler Oldies.
Yeah.
On the jukebox, on Raleigh's jukebox. In fact, I just heard Cool Breeze by the Daylighters.
Yes,
there tonight.
A wonderful earlier song. Yes,
and that kind of reminds me of Elephant Walk by Donald Jenkins and the Daylighters.
Yeah, right.
Versus Gerald Sims and the Daylighters.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm embarrassed about KJ because I threw like 3,500 songs on it when I had to put something on it, and I've always been meaning to make it better, and it's just so far down the list that I don't. But I've gotten to the point where I don't even listen to it sometime because I get so mad at what I hear. But one of these days, I will straighten it out. But in the meantime,
well, I've heard a few on there that I didn't know that I wrote down that I'm looking for.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of online. It's easy to find them. And I love to go to discos because people are usually selling it for next to nothing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I go to, they have garage sales here.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been to one in a long time, but I find some.
I don't know if you check out discos.com, discogs.com. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay. You'll hate me for this because you're going to start spending money, but you can pretty much think of anything and what they have there. You know, they'll say like for sale, and like I just looked up Native Girl. It's kind of pricey from $5 to $10, but there are 7 offers. You know, so but you know I see a lot of things for like $1 and things like that. So yeah, check it out.
Discogs.com.
Yeah, discogs.com, and then just put in the artist and title, and it's going to come up, and I'll tell you how many are for sale and everything else. Yeah, you're going to like it, I think.
Okay, great. Well, I had a third guilty pleasure. I don't want to take up took up enough time, but you probably know this, but you don't have to play it. Little Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
Cameo. Mama Let the Phone Bell Ring.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, that's why it's a guilty pleasure.
All right. Yeah.
There's a... I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, it's kind of like a, I don't know, like a fairy tale kind of verse in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty sappy, but I used to like the girl group song.
Yeah, it was a cameo record.
Cameo record,
absolutely. And I think that that was written by the guys who own Cameo. I think Cal Mann and Dave Apple wrote that. And... Yeah, Little Cheryl, right?
Little Cheryl, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I have no idea what happened to Little Cheryl. I should try and find that out. Maybe Val knows. I'll ask.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to talk to you as always, Stan. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, nice talking to you. Right. Have a nice night.
You too. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. I'll bet you Val will know who Little Cheryl was. It could be interesting to find out. Maybe it was one of, like, you know, Apple or Man's kids or something. Possible. So let's see. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I heard something absolutely terrible today.
What?
If you thought Honey by Bobby Goldsboro is bad, try Honey by Gary Puckett.
Oh, God. Why? Why did you hear this?
Why? I was flipping around, you know, on my phone and playing different stations, and unfortunately that came up, and I said, no, this can't be real.
Well,
no.
Yeah, it was on that album in 68. There's worse. He does the Mighty Quinn. I mean, it's really bad.
God.
Yeah, it was a Columbia album. It came out in 68. And, yeah, I don't know that Honey is the worst, but there's a lot of things to just really groan. And I think the only hit on it was Young Girl. And, of course, that's what, you know, spawned them saying, we got to get an album out here in a hurry. Well, they wanted an album in the worst way, and that's the way they got it. It wasn't.
That's the way it happened, in the worst way.
Right.
Yeah.
It was their third album in 1968. So right there, you know, it's like, I don't think there's enough material. Yeah. Woman was the first one, I think. And, yeah, You Better Sit Down, Kids is on that one. Oh yeah. You don't want to hear
it.
Oh,
no.
Oh
my
yes.
God, it gets worse.
It really does. So, the second album was called Incredible, and it wasn't, but it did have Over You, which was the only Gary Puckett record I actually liked. So, yeah.
I like that one, too.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice song.
That one I like, but not too many of them I like. But
well, right,
when I heard that Honey, I thought, oh, my God, no.
Right.
I thought it was bad enough by
and
Bobby Goldsboro.
The thing is, it was contemporary. It was out at the same time. You know, they were recording it while
would be right,
they were recording it while it was a hit. It's like, well, isn't it bad enough the way it is? And so, Jerry Fuller produced their stuff. In fact, Jerry Fuller wrote Over You, but I don't know what he was thinking. I assume Jerry produced that album as well. I hope he didn't, actually, but I think he probably did. That was I'm looking it up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Actually, the Goldsboro version is better, but that's not saying much.
Well, right.
But
right. Oh, man.
And I am also, speaking of Bluetooth keyboards, I've had the same Amazon Basics Bluetooth keyboard ever since I've had my first iPhone, which I guess has been quite a while now. And Gary can type on the screen. I cannot do that to save my life. I mean, I can go to the different, you know, apps and functions, but I can't seem to get the keyboard. And especially now with, you know, with my hands not cooperating as well as they used to. It works fine, except for this, I think the 5, 6, and 7 don't work.
Oh, interesting.
And so, of course, I'm trying to. But when I went on Amazon, I mostly found Bluetooth keyboard mouse combos.
Oh, I saw a lot that aren't. There are some, but there's a lot that aren't. But unfortunately, and I'm going to look stronger, but they're geared more to people who, you know, can see, but not well, like large keys or whatever. No. They need to be tactile. And that's what I'm looking for, something that would be tactile.
Yeah. The one. I got Gary one year, and we can't find it. And with his problems with his fingers, with his not having the sensitivity, he was having trouble differentiating the keys. And so he was going to give it to me, but we can't find it. And then I had that one that I remember Karen talking about getting one from this place called AT Guys. It's foldable. So I thought, well, I'll just use that. I got it out. I couldn't figure out where or what to plug it into to charge it.
Oh, God.
So it's like, okay, you know, I'm looking at every little slot, and no, that's where it folds. No, that's where it, nothing would go through, and it doesn't seem to use the new USB-C plugs.
Oh, okay.
So I tried the little plugs with the little nubs on them. I don't know what they're called, and I thought, well, I'll just use that, but I can't figure out how to charge it. So that's not a doable thing.
No.
But so I'm trying to find. Oh God, I wish they still made that Basics because I love that thing. I was telling Gary, but I don't want a new keyboard. I want this one to
that's
work.
Right, exactly. Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But yeah, I'll look around. We'll compare notes. Yeah.
I'm a creature of habit.
Right.
And I want my, also I had a couple of requests before I forget.
Okay. Get the right thing out.
I want to hear, if you don't mind, I want to hear Smile by Nat King Cole.
Okay. What else?
That's my theme song.
All right.
And you played a version of Since I Fell for You that I actually liked better than Lenny Welch, and I never thought that would be possible.
Probably the Skyliners.
And I think it...
Skyliners.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah, that's who it was. Okay. I'd also like to hear that.
All right.
And Strange I Know.
Ah, yes, Marva Lutz. All right.
Yes.
All right, you got it. Thank you.
All right, thanks all right. A lot.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Bye. All right, so all good choices. And so that's we're starting on next week already. Now, what are we doing here? Something. Oh, Nick is in Baltimore. All right, Nick, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Raleigh.
What's happening?
Well, I told John I had a question about, and I've had this cold, and I'm sorry to sound like this, but, you know those Dickie Goodman records that, with the, the flying saucer
right,
and all that?
The drop-ins, yeah.
Right. Now, he got sued for that.
Oh,
right?
I mean, that's why they had Buchanan and Goodman on trial, which was one of the funniest damn things. I don't know if you ever heard it, but may I play that for you next week if you didn't. Yeah. They absolutely...
Did those records ever... How high did those things chart?
You know, I'd have to look it up. I don't think they charted that high. And it was their own little label. You know, that was the funniest thing. Because originally it was on Universe, and then they found out, oh my God, there is a Universe. So literally, Buchanan sat there and wrote an L in front of the U on all the damn records, so it said Luniverse. But, you know...
Oh, okay.
You know, it was a handwritten L on that. But, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I do not think they lost much, if anything, on that. But, you know, I don't think there was much to lose.
And you were talking about Rare Earth before. You know, they crossed over. I mean, they were on the Soul Stations, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so here's a deal. I knew they didn't lose money. I just looked this up. The judge not only ruled that they didn't infringe on the copyrights, and there were 17 record labels that were suing them, and so they wound up getting a $130,000 counterclaim, and they didn't get the money, though. It ultimately was denied. But, I mean, initially it looked like they were going to get money from the lawsuit, so it didn't get it. So anyway, they were cleared completely, and they didn't lose anything on that, and unfortunately had to pay their legal, but nothing else. So that was the deal on Buchanan.
So it kind of canceled itself out.
Yes, exactly.
Sort of.
It did. Yeah, it was not a big deal. So yeah.
Well, that's something. That's something. I want to request the Skyliners too.
Oh yeah, which one? Same song or
the,
another one?
The same song. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guarantee you. In fact, I've got it right here. I'll play it. Actually, I'll be in another studio next week, but I will write it down and I'll have it in that studio too.
And that's a Pittsburgh group too.
Of course. Oh, all the way on Calico Records, which wound up being owned by Art LeBeau after a while. But yeah, that was 100% Pittsburgh. And Jimmy Beaumont was great because he adored R&B.
Oh yeah.
And I loved him. And sadly, Janet Vogel, it was sad, you know, killed herself. But yeah, that was horrible. She was married to a cop, and no one believed that she was being abused, and she was being abused, and ultimately she killed herself. So,
yeah, that's the thing. There's so many stories tied up with these tunes that we love.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many sad stories that...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but it's life.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, those were the things I had.
All right. You'll get
and
them.
I'll try to give you a call next week. And
I'm counting on it.
We'll let some... Okay, move. Let somebody else get in
here. All
right,
thanks a
lot.
Appreciate it. All right, so let's see. Want to get everybody in the waning moments and pay the bills as well. But Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, thanks, Riley. Just real quick, I heard an interview earlier on the radio today on your station, and they were talking about the King family singers. And I first thought they were talking about the Lennon sisters.
No.
I'm like, wait a minute. So I don't know anything about what is this all about?
Oh, it's a soap opera. The King sisters were from Pleasant Grove, Utah. And they were heavily entrenched in the Mormon culture, hence Alvino Ray was one of the people who was producing them and stuff like that. But anyway, it was Maxine, Louise, Alice, Donna, Yvonne, and Marilyn. One of them died of a drug overdose. But they had a show, a TV show in the 60s, the King Family Show. And Louise was married to Alvino Ray. And but... They were not young. The King family started on the radio, KSL, of course, owned by the church, you know, and in the 30s. And they moved to California, and they were playing with Horst Heit, big band leader at the time. And, you know, that morphed into the King family show. You know, kind of think about a demented version of who's the champagne guy from North Dakota? Lawrence Welk.
Okay.
So, and there's still a bunch of descendants and stuff like that. And the deal is their last name wasn't King, it was Driggs, actually. And their father was William King Griggs, so that's where they got the King. And so they idolized the Boswell sisters, and if you remember them. And so but in 35 they accepted a job with Horst Heit, and that started. So these are not young girls as far as that goes.
I think
some of them work with Artie Shaw, and there were a bunch of, which is an interesting story right there. And then Alvino Ray married one of them, and the King sisters became the resident vocalists for that. And they were the four King sisters for a while: Yvonne, Louise, Alice, and Donna. And they did some movies. And then I think Alice, Yvonne, and Marilyn were on Gene Autry's show. And
oh, wow.
I forget which one of them had the drug problem. But anyway, they're all dead.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, actually, the last one, I think, died about 12 years ago, which is Marilyn. So they're all dead. They were not young.
Oh, wow.
But they had hits in the 30s and in the 40s, you know. In fact, they did a version of Divorce Me, COD, which was an old country song with Buddy Cole and all that. But yeah, their 60s TV show, you can check this out and start to laugh.
Well, it's funny because I'm like, why was I thinking the Lennon sisters?
No.
I heard some of the King music, but I didn't realize that technically wasn't their last name.
No, it was Driggs. The Lennon sisters were on Lawrence Welk. So, yeah.
Okay.
And they had their soap opera, too. But I'm sure, you know, if you looked it up, all these stories have got to be online. Got to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now you know.
All right. Well, thanks, Raleigh. Have
My pleasure.
Night.
Okay, bye. All right, so hopefully we'll get to Kevin before the end of the night. If not, there's next week, but I got to do this right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. I was thinking about it. It wasn't the King family that had the member who died of drugs. It was the Klinger sisters. So wrong era and wrong, but hey, Utah, ding, 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 we have a winner. Kevin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you?
All right, how are you? You sound good.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm still here in this assisted living center in Colorado Springs. But I was going to, the other day, I was going to a depression treatment, and the lady that was driving a pace van, and we were listening to stuff on Spotify, and all of a sudden, Searching for My Love came up by Bobby Moore and the Rhythm Maces, and we just went, oh, turn it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
it was absolutely wonderful. But, that was pretty much what I wanted to talk to you about, but maybe I'll call you next week and kind of catch you up on what's
call,
going on.
Yeah, call early. You know, usually, like I say, the 10 o'clock hour, it's just a vast wasteland, to quote Newton B. Mellon.
Yeah.
So by all means, do that, and we'll absolutely talk. And I haven't forgotten that we're eventually getting you a drive, but right now it's low on my list, but we will.
That's okay.
All right.
It'll happen.
Yes, it will.
Thanks, Holly.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
So, yeah, now I probably shouldn't leave without telling you about this word and I did find this fascinating, actually. It's one of those things where you say to yourself, could that be right? And that was, there is one word, and I'll leave it to you if it's a word. See, that's the problem. That's in 31 languages. And what it is, it's huh. Now, what's fascinating about this is not that it appears in 31 languages, but that linguistic experts determined that it is a language, a word, not just a, you know, something like an emotive groan or something like that. And so they looked at the universal requirements for a word. Yes, there are some, and determined that it is a word, and all languages naturally arrived at more or less the same response. Huh. And it has rules, and that's right, you know, because you normally think it's an interjection like mm or ah, but no, the researcher said, no, it's a word. For one thing, it's learned as opposed to animalistic sounds, and children don't use the word huh until they've started speaking. And even languages without the H sound create a close approximation, and so they went through that and talked about converging cultural evolution, which I'll spare you that gets into sharks and dolphins and who cares. But the bottom line is that there is a necessity for clarification that has created a universal language requirement for a word that's quick and easy to pronounce, and it's come out to be huh. And in some languages, it could be or a or e or whatever. But the idea that it is a guttural sound and all that, and that's it. And I'm out of time. So even Adam, who probably wants to go home at this point, says, "Shut up." All right, I will. So that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.